Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And, of course, this is Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tell Corey to get ready. I'm rolling in next week. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Not only that, snacks, soft drinks. And the pickle bar is second to none. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I shall be stocking up for the Final Four next Friday. As soon as the show's over, I'm going to go over there first, and then we're going to go over to the party. How about that?
Okay.
You'll just go straight to the party because you've heard it. You know, there's the potential for an open bar, thus you can't get there fast
enough.
Never seen anybody break that many laws.
No.
Wow.
No. There is a drive to get to my home. So, no.
Oh, please. It's never stopped you before. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Cubits, 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin had to turn in the vehicle today.
I did. I had to turn the 2014 Hyundai Genesis. The Genesis is the luxury vehicle that Hyundai has developed without the luxury vehicle price. It's got all the great features you would expect, including the leather interior, the simulated wood grain, the great leather-wrapped steering wheel, and if you want a V6, it's available in a V6. If you'd like the more powerful V8, the V8 is also available. I guarantee you, you will not have a fight for space. You'll be very comfortable in the Hyundai Genesis, the quietest vehicle, I think, on the road today, and definitely a smooth ride, too. Check it out with $8,800 off. It is available right now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. You can visit Skip and the folks there in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury, and check it out as well on sunburymotors.com, on my Facebook page, or follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr.
There's no doubt that the NCAA men's basketball tournament is incredibly popular. I mean, we'll get to the championship game. I think last year's championship game was viewed either in full or partially by a minimum of 48 million. I mean, that's impressive. That's not Super Bowl numbers, which are over 100 million, but still on a Monday night, you're nearly 50 million people. But that doesn't mean that the game can't get better, especially in the regular season. The game needs to get better. I think every game needs to constantly, I'm going to talk to Larry Michael about this at the bottom of the hour too. Every game needs to always figure out a way where it can be better. Baseball's finally coming to grips that there are some subtle things they can do to be better. Hockey's made some changes because they knew they needed to be faster and better. The NBA, you know, you can criticize the NBA all you want, but the NBA sat back about 15, 18 years ago. They changed their game. More flow, passing, space, things like that. Room to operate. You know, people can make all the subtle jokes about the NBA they want. They can also talk, oh, the good old days. Remember the Pacers, next one, Reggie Miller? That game was in the 80s, score-wise. And the NFL's made some subtle moves to try and change. Now, you know, look at the NFL. They're thinking about what to do with the extra point. It's an untimed play that 96% of the time has a predictable outcome. Right? 96%. So they're thinking about what do we do with that? You know, how do we change replay to make replay better? How do we, you know, college football's made some changes in the right direction. But college basketball needs to take a good, hard, long look at itself. You know, as much as Georgia State was celebrated for how they beat Baylor, and they played really well in the second round, you realize they won their championship game over Georgia Southern 38-36? 38-36, that was the final. Look, and you're talking to a guy that's an expert on those games. Penn State beat Illinois 38-33. Penn State won the Big Ten quarterfinal over Wisconsin 36-33. I did a game once with Tennessee back in the 90s that the end of regulation was tied at 33. And then Penn State scored all 8 points in overtime, 141-33. It was back in the, like, 96, right around there when they played Tennessee. But you need to get more flow into this game, and it's not just a simple, hey, let's change the shot clock. It's not that simple. I'm not in favor of a 24-second shot clock only for this reason. The college game should be just a bit different. You know, the three-point line should be closer. These are college players as opposed to pros. You should have a few seconds longer to get into what you're doing because it's college players versus the pros. So there should be some differences between the two. But having a bigger arc under the basket and a 30-second shot clock like they're using in the NIT, those are just certain steps. How they get, now, officiating in basketball is really difficult, so please, this is not going to be a commentary on poor officiating. It's not even remotely close. But you look at last night's West Virginia-Kentucky game. Look at all the contact in that game. It just, I mean, officiating had zero to do with the outcome. Kentucky was going to roll that team no matter what. But even the fans in the stands were like, oh, another one. We're stopping the game. Stop the game again. And the officials are doing the job that they are told to do as to how to officiate. So this is not an officiating comment. But the game needs to be freed up in a lot of ways. With several steps in terms of what, you know, and you may have to sacrifice the first couple of weeks of the season from mid-November to Thanksgiving to make sure that you get the right flow going in the game. And you watch European basketball, and what they're playing at the World Championships. They're moving and cutting and screening and moving and cutting and screening all without the ball. And getting shots and feel like there's a freedom to take a shot. Remember how I've talked about repeatedly going into the NCAAs, how there are shots open now that haven't been open for 2.5 months? I mean, scouting's really good. And what I'm saying has nothing to do with the charge of people overcoaching. I mean, Tony Bennett has a style that he feels he needs to play to win at Virginia. I don't blame him. That's how he thinks he needs to win. Then you get somebody at the opposite end of the spectrum, Mike Bray. Mike Bray is an overcoach. Mike Bray doesn't have a thick playbook. He likes to have older players. He's made that transition. He likes to have fourth and fifth year players, and you're seeing that now more with Pat Chambers. Pat Chambers is getting guys like, you know, take Julian Moore, Peyton Banks. You know, he did that with Isaiah Washington. You know, they're redshirting. The idea is going to get fourth and fifth year guys in the program later. That's what Mike Bray does at Notre Dame. Mike Bray does a great job. Mike Bray doesn't overcoach. I mean, what he does is relatively simple. It's not that complicated. And so it's not a matter of that, but it's the way the game right now is structured, where you need to get better flow and freedom of movement. Stop flopping. You can't find the players. The NBA can. A 30-second shot clock. bigger arc under the basket. I don't think a wider lane is going to make a difference. But at the same time, take, for example, what FIBA is doing with the rebound, and instead of a 24-second reset on the clock, it resets to 14. Wow. Now, I don't know how that's going to work, but I like the idea. The idea is progressive. You're already down at that end of the court. You don't need the 10 seconds to bring it up. Right now in college basketball, the ball hits the rim, you get the rebound, and now for 35 seconds, we get to bring the ball back out to midcourt, hang around for about 15, 20 seconds, then start to run a play. Well, guess what? With a 30-second shot clock, and then instead of 14, it would reset to 20. Boom, 20. Now you got 20 seconds. Get to it. Move. Creates more possessions. And if you're going to mug and foul and get away with it, well, guess what? We're going to put rules in to make sure you can't get away with it, and then you're going to have to play. You're going to have to open the game up. And the game needs that right now, and it's not the officials' fault. Please, it's not the officials' fault. They have to go by what the rules are as to how the game needs to be called. There need to be some standards put in place that allow more free flow on the court. And 30 seconds instead of 35 is not a Speedy Gonzalez approach to it, but you don't need the extra 5 seconds. You don't. Fans don't need to watch the extra 5 seconds per possession. They don't need to watch that. So the game does need to have some changes. Now, the tournament's outstanding. Close games, one and done, stakes, people doing brackets. So you can get lulled into, hey, the game's great. Well, there's some certain things in the game that have to change to make it better. No question. That can make it a better game. And every sport needs to do this. They always have to think all the time. Taking the two-line pass out in hockey opened the game up. Trapezoid behind the net where a goaltender can handle it. Great move. Football's made changes. The best move they ever made was years ago with the 5-yard contact rule. But you always have to keep doing subtle things. Baseball's finally sitting there saying, look, we've got to do something here. I mean, I'll give you an example. Wrestling. Wrestling needs to do something to make it a little more action-oriented.
Riding time's got to go.
Well, Mike Evans of Iowa walked onto the mat backwards. He was already, you know, it's like, what are you doing, Mike? Why are you walking on the mat? Oh, that's right. That's how you wrestle it, backwards. Really? You think 2-1's exciting? Really? Really? No. Okay. Somebody asked the other day about the women's ratings for the NCAA tournament in wrestling. Okay. Wrestling got 694,000 viewers for the championship, which they're touting and looking. I mean, look at the increase and the whole thing. But it's peanuts. No offense. It's peanuts. The women's championship game and the NCAA women's tournament has not really been highly viewed. I mean, the ratings have not been great, but the championship game last year got 3.7 million viewers. 3.7 million viewers for the women's championship game. Wrestling got 694,000. I'm not comparing it to the men's game. The men's got the championship game got 48, 50 million viewers last year. Okay? But, you know, and Kale Sanderson is one. I mean, he's got to be listened to more. You got to open the game up.
What's Kale's thought on it? I know you've mentioned it before, but...
He wants to go for it. Go out there. Action. You know, high risk, high reward moves. You know, more action. Less stalling. You can talk riding time all you want. Pew, who cares? That's just one piddly thing.
Well, it is, right? But I think that has a lot to do with the stalling that happens.
It does not. It does not. Okay? The guy in the bottom's doing nothing while he's getting ridden.
That's also true.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with it. The guy in the bottom is losing riding time left and right, not moving. Okay? I mean, wrestling's got to get more into it. Okay? More action. You talk about subtlety all you want. The casual fan is subtly saying, I'm not watching it. So, men's basketball needs to get more action and shots up during the course of a game. Wrestling needs more shots on the mat. Like I said, you can sit there and go, wow, 694, that's an increase over last year. The women's championship game drew 3.7 million viewers last year. Okay. I'm not even going to bother comparing it to the men's championship game. It's a whole different animal. So, you know, it's not... I mean, I realize guys have to do what they need to do to win. So I cite Mike Evans. I mean, the guy, he lost, what, twice all year? Two losses? So obviously he's really, really good, very talented. But you watch him wrestle and you're like, it's like watching Virginia play basketball. You're like, you're winning, but you're really not helping my interest here in watching the sport. That's why each sport needs to think out of the box a little bit here. What can we do to make it better? So when I hear a proposal like what FIBA's doing with hitting the rim and the shot clock being reset at 14 instead of 24, I'm like, I don't know if that's going to work or not, or it's realistic, but wow, I like the idea. Let's at least look at how the idea plays out in practicality. Let's see if it actually is a good idea. That's why I use the NIT, the CBI, things like that. It's an idea worthy of outside-the-box thinking, where you keep the basics of the game rock solid, but a couple little changes here and there can make it an even better game, more entertaining, because in the end, sports is entertainment. Okay? You think a couple guys like, you know, locking and walking around in a circle is entertaining. That's not entertaining. Like I said, the Arizona Xavier game last night, it was 7 minutes, Xavier didn't score a basket. But it was masked by the fact that it was a close game. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday.
No, it's Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Remember, every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai.
And it's the Lease We Can Do sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hyundai.
The least we can do is cut the crap and give you low payments and no money down. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata SE for only $237 a month for 36 months with zero down. Zilch. Nada. Or lease a 2015 Hyundai Elantra SE for only $183 a month for 36 months. Again, no money down. Or you could go green. Lease a 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid for $250 a month for 36 months, and you guessed it, zero due at sign. No hidden fees, no plus tax, and blah, blah, blah. It's the lease we can do. These cars are here, these deals are real, and they're only at your home for Hyundai, Sunbury Motors Hyundai,
Hyundai.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, where every day is Hyundai.
Hyundai!
Lease is based on 10,000 miles per year, zero total due at signing with approved HMFR Tier 1 financing tax included. See dealer for complete details.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
My point is simple. You can't always just sit still and be content with what you're doing. There are so many options on entertainment now across the board with devices, Netflix, TV, live events. And sports right now is red hot programming wise because of the unpredictability of it. You'll watch the end, we talk about West Virginia, Kentucky going in. Could be a good game. The game was a blowout. But North Carolina-Wisconsin was a really good game. Arizona and Xavier was a close game last night. Notre Dame finally pulled away and won. You got some good matchups tonight where there, no game plays out the same. They all have their own level of unpredictability. It seems inevitable Kentucky's going to win the national championship. Yet if there's a game where they come out and they bring their B-minus game to the table and a team brings an A-plus, they might lose. I don't know. That's one thing that's great. We don't know. Houston was never supposed to lose to North Carolina State. Georgetown wasn't supposed to lose to Villanova. Alabama was supposed to beat Ohio State in football. Penn State lost to Ohio State a year ago, 63-14. This year, in the second overtime, Penn State led. You don't know. And that's one of the great... That's why sports is so popular now, because there's a wide variety of endings. Every game really does take on its own personality. Well, it's the job of those who run the sports to make sure that they continue to put out an entertaining product. And one of the problems that college basketball has is who runs it? Who's in charge?
In college basketball, the NCAA?
Yep. Who? Who's in charge of college basketball?
I don't know. I go ahead.
That's exactly right. There isn't anybody.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. And, of course, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the area's best selection of beers. Stock up for the weekend now. Snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Soft drinks and, of course, the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Very pleased to bring in the play-by-play voice of the Washington Redskins, Larry Michael. Larry, welcome. It is great to have you on board.
Good to be with you, Steve. How are you doing today?
Doing really well. You just were part of the NFL meetings. It's something we've been talking about. Where can each sport make their game better? You watch this on a daily basis. These NFL meetings are in part, how can we make the game better? What are some things that you see that can make the NFL game even more appealing to fans?
Well, I'm kind of a traditionalist. So one thing I would say would be, don't mess with things that aren't a problem. And they continually want to look at the extra point and try to add more excitement to that play. I don't see that as a problem, though. The extra point has been around as long as I've been watching the game. Yeah, it's very seldom missed. No, it's not a very exciting play, but there's plenty of other aspects to the game that are exciting to carry the game. But to answer your question directly, I think, the officiating a lot of times is inconsistent, and they've tried to help it with instant replay. But maybe it is time to make some of these guys full-time employees so that at least one member of the crew is someone who is involved in rules and officiating on a year-round basis. And as we know, these crews are put together. They do a pretty good job, but they're not full-time, and there's been a reluctance to hire full-time employees. Maybe a compromise would be to have the head referee be a full-time employee, and thus he gets a different type of training. He gets a little more in-depth training, and he can take control of situations. Because you look at some of the calls that are made, and, obviously being a Redskin guy, I didn't mind seeing Des Bryant fumble that football on the goal line. That caught a lot of attention. But, it sure looked like a touchdown to me. So, and they go to instant replay, and they still, because of the way the rule is interpreted, they call it a non-touchdown. I don't think anybody would complain if they called it a touchdown except Green Bay. But that's the kind of stuff that's kind of annoying, I think, when you're thinking about how you could improve the game.
Is replay too much of a bailout for officials today?
I don't think they use it as such. I think it is kind of a travesty the way they did it last year, because the referees, whether it was in the final 2 minutes or a touchdown, a scoring play, which are automatically reviewed if they're controversial, before one of the coaches threw their red flags, that they go and look under the hood, and they are not making the decision. The decision now is coming from New York. So it was kind of like a fake under the hood thing. And, you know, I think to them, I think they like the help from New York, because that way that final decision on a key call is going to be coming from the boss. They won't have to explain it. But, yeah, I think, you know, to some degree, I don't want to say they're gun-shy, but if you know that it's going to be replayed, then you're not as much under the gun to make the best call possible. Maybe it slides off your back a little bit because you know it's going to be replayed. So if it's overturned, now when was the last time you saw anybody blame the official for an overturned call? Because they ended up getting it right by way of instant replay. So it takes them out of the line of fire a little bit, I think.
The meetings in Arizona, what were your take out of that? What would be the important storylines out of that?
Well, you know, one thing that's coming out now, which wasn't discussed then, was these two issues with the Cleveland Browns and Atlanta Falcons for, you know, the Browns had texted downstairs and the Falcons had pumped in crowd noise. They didn't want to burden those meetings by announcing whatever penalties there are. So there really wasn't a lot of news that came out of the league meetings, other than the fact that the league is incredibly healthy. Obviously, the TV deals are outstanding. The fact that they, right prior to the meetings, they backed off that blackout rule, which had been around since I can remember. So no longer will the game be blacked out in a home market if all the tickets aren't sold 48 hours before the game, which, you know, might be a sign of the times, because with what you get at home, with the TVs you can get, all the different things you, you know, can do at home, that, you know, some people have not gone to the games in the last few years. And I think it's really in every sport. So you have to make it more appealing to come to the game, because the game experience is totally unique. And I know for the Redskins, there's a lot of plans this year for augmenting the video, scoreboards, you know, all anything that can keep the fans entertained. And I think that is a key for the NFL moving forward. Yes, the revenue generated from TV is incredible. It's a huge pot of gold. But you still want people coming to the game, so you have to make that experience special. Nowadays, you know, I'll tell you, I learned something that the Generation Z, I didn't even know what Generation Z was. but I learned, I guess Generation Z is like 13 to 18-year-olds or something like that.
Oh.
And those kids are accessing their cell phone 100 times a day for different types of content, which, again, I'm kind of a dinosaur. I got a great cell phone, and I use it a lot, but I'm not on it 100 times a day. So that's kind of where the world's going. Every stadium's going to need Wi-Fi, because people are going to want to be connected while they're watching the game.
And that's exactly what they're talking about here at Beaver Stadium all the time for Penn State. They're saying, look, we need a better Wi-Fi system in the stadium for exactly what you're talking about. And I've only done one game at FedEx, so I'm not really sure how well set up that is for it.
Well, you know, unless you build the stadium with Wi-Fi as part of that initial build, it's very expensive to get all the repeaters, to get everything in there right. So I know it's a multi-million-dollar investment. The Redskins went ahead and did that this year. You know, just listening to fan requests, and you know, it's hard to get a cell phone call out of the stadium. You got 80,000 people there, and you know, Beaver Stadium's bigger, so it's probably even harder to get a cell phone signal during a game, much less a text or get any kind of connectivity. So yeah, I think that's where everything's going. And for a stadium, you know, that isn't built with Wi-Fi originally in it, it's quite expensive.
What is the state? I mean, you can go from the bottom to the top in this league with incredible swiftness. What's the state of the Redskins, in your opinion, based on what they've done in free agency and with the draft coming up?
Well, there's a new man in charge. Scott McClure is the new general manager, so I think that ultimately this team will look a lot different by the time the season rolls around. And in a couple of years, it'll look drastically different. He's got no connection to any of the players who are currently here. So their defense has been rebuilt somewhat on the defensive line. They really went heavy defense in free agency. But make no mistake about it, it'll center on the quarterback position. It'll center on the performance of RG3 and how consistent he can get, how much he can improve. I'm a big fan of his, and I think that he's been dealt a raw deal because he's had two real substantial injuries in 3 years. So kid hasn't been healthy, but he has been electrifying when healthy. So regardless of what they do on the, you know, the free agency, and of course they're looking to bolster the team in the draft. this season, the most important position is a quarterback. That's always the most important position, isn't it? But right. Especially so this year because he's in the final year of his deal, and they gave up a lot to get him. They did not extend him to a mega deal like Andrew Luck's going to get. So it'll be interesting to see how it performs. He's going to have a lot of pressure on him. I think he's up to the challenge. I really do.
All right, let's get into him for a moment. When you watched him his rookie year pre-injury, what really worked for him that gave you a level of confidence that he could be a long-term solution at quarterback?
Well, he looked like a this is something that he hasn't looked like in the last year and a half. He looked like a very confident quarterback in his rookie year. A lot of conviction on where he went with the ball. Didn't hesitate to run. Didn't hesitate to cut the ball loose. He had a great arm. Has a great arm still. But that's something that, you know, between injuries and a couple of different systems, a couple of tough years where he got beat up pretty badly. They've given up a lot of sacks. His confidence is somewhat shaken. So if he can get back the confidence he had in his rookie year where, you know, he just cut it loose and wasn't really worried. I mean, he didn't throw that many picks. He had a great rookie year, and obviously that's what they want to see him get back to. And whether he can or not, you know, that's the big question this year. I think he can. Again, I look at him and I see him working out. He's around the complex, even though he's not obligated to be there now. But he's in great shape. He looks healthy. But, you know, again, you've got that from the neck up is where a player needs to really make a lot of improvements. And because, you know, I don't think he's going to become a better athlete at this stage of his life. So he needs to improve his ability to read defenses and build some confidence in his game. Again, I think he can do it because I've seen him do it before, but this, you know, whole confluence of circumstances have put him in a position where he's headed into a very pressure-packed year.
Obviously, if any coach would sit there and you want to be able to have the ability to have your system match the talent around you, does Jay Gruden's system lend itself to the kind of quarterback RG3 can be?
Well, I mean, I would say from the basis of the offense and what type of system he had run in the past, not perfectly. I would say not perfectly because Robert has a very unique set of skills. He's got a great arm, and he's got great scrambling ability, and he's super fast. You know, but you know, to be able to go through his progressions is something he needs to improve on. So Jay Gruden has said it. He says he needs to coach better. Player needs to play better. And they brought in Matt Kavanaugh, and everybody knows Matt Kavanaugh. He's a former Pitt Panther, and everybody knows what he has done since his pro career ended. He's been a coach he's been at about 5-6 different stops, and he's been successful. And the hope is that a veteran quarterback coach like Matt Kavanaugh can help RG3. You see, last year there was no quarterback coach on the staff. Jay Gruden felt that he'd be able to be the quarterback coach, but really didn't turn out that way. You know, as a head coach, time management is so important. And, you know, he has added an experienced quarterback coach. I think that'll help him, Robert, fit the way the system is going to ultimately end up. But a lot of fans around here want to see Robert run. They say, well, that's the best part of his game. Don't stop that. So you're kind of torn. You know, if you run him, you know, runs the risk of getting hurt again. And he's not the ideal pocket passer at this stage of his career. So I would say a hybrid between Jay's offense and the skill set that Robert has is what they're trying to find.
If you're working around something on an everyday basis, you're going to have a different perspective than somebody from the outside looking in. The Redskins certainly have been an interesting focal point for some people on the outside to take shots at. So as somebody who's around it every day, what's the perception of the team that you know with it, or the organization that you know is wrong, that irks you when you hear it talked about?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the thing that irks me the most, you know, were some reports last year that the team was not unified in the locker room. And, you know, I do work at Redskins Park. I've been working there for 10 years now, switched careers and left my previous job at Westwood, which I had been at a long time, to do this job with the Redskins. So you go to work at a place every day, you get to know the people, you get a real good feel, you're there every day. And the reports last year that there was dissension in the locker room were absolutely untrue, absolutely unfounded. I witnessed incidents in the locker room that were reported erroneously, and I, you know, go out and do my commentaries and do what I do. But, you know, these days with social media, if someone tweets that the Redskins are dancing in the locker room after a loss, people believe it. And that is what irks me the most, because, you know, no, the team didn't win a lot of games, but it's a very solid locker room. A lot of love in that locker room with these guys. There's a brotherhood with that team that many of the players have told me they have not experienced in other places. And that's by virtue of the fact that they bring in people who they really stress character. They're not always right when they look at these guys and say, we want character individuals, but that's kind of the way life is. You run into some people whose character, after you get to know them, is, well, they're questionable. But I do believe it's a very together team, and that's something that was erroneously reported last year. You know, when you lose, though, you know, you can kind of just blow it all away and say, look, you know, we lost, and people are going to say what they say when you lose.
One final question, Larry, then I'll let you go, and we appreciate the time that you're giving us. Can you put into words the day-in and day-out passion for this franchise that maybe some people would not understand?
Well, I mean, people up your way understand it, because the Penn State fans have a tradition, they have a passion, and regardless of how things look, the loyalty is unquestioned. And, you know, we have a lot of talks with a lot of season ticket holders here, and the one thing that's undeniable, as bad as the team might be sometimes, the fans are always there. The fans really support the team. And it's built on the tradition. It's built on those memories of great times in the past. And no, the Redskins haven't been to the Super Bowl for a while. But everybody who has passed on that love to the next generation, and that, you know, that loyalty to the next generation, the young fans here are as passionate as the ones that used to go to RFK and attend championship games. It's been passed down from generation to generation, which is a very unique situation. I don't think there's a lot of programs. I do believe you've got one at Penn State that's exactly the same, that you've got generations of fans who, regardless of what the outlook is, they're going to come and cheer their team on because that's who they are. And I think the Redskins fans are just like that. That's who they are. And it's not going to change. And so, again, times change. But people's loyalties sometimes do change. But I think as a fan base, they really have a great loyalty to the team. They really do.
Larry, absolute tremendous respect for your great work. Thanks so much for carving out a few minutes of time for us today.
Steve, I appreciate you, and I look back to the days where I was getting started in the game, and I worked with a guy named Jack Ham for years. And
that's right.
I know what Penn State football is all about, believe me.
Larry, thanks so much.
All right, Steve, take care now.
Larry Michael, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Redskins, will wrap up the week. Kevin will say something angry in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hello?
Hi, Eric. This is Terry from Farmers Insurance. Any changes regarding your home or car?
Well, I started carpooling with some friends from work.
No problem. With the extra people in the car, we want you to stay safe, so let me update your liability limits.
Perfect.
Until you close the gaps in your insurance, you could be living dangerously. To find out more, visit Farmers.com. We'll help you know the gaps and lose all the...
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
The love is too high. It bring me down. Can't none bring me down, I say.
Because I'm happy.
Clap alone if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap alone if you feel like happiness is the truth.
There, feel better?
You should try a dose of that in your life once in a while. You're so bitter about everything. Steve Lavin, by the way, out as the head coach at St. John's. There are now reports that Texas is going to part ways with Rick Barnes after 17 seasons. Multiple sources have told 24/7 Sports. They said bet the house and double down that Barnes will not be the head coach next year. Donnie Tindall, as expected, out at Tennessee after 1 year because of the NCAA investigation. And there's a bottom line on that. Look, I mean, Tennessee basketball in some ways is getting what it deserves because They took Konzo Martin and they drove him out of town. Fans drove him out. Administration was like, you know, acquiesced to the fans, didn't do much to keep him, and he left after they made the Sweet 16 last year. The other years, Martin's family was treated so poorly and so upset by things said on talk radio, message boards, things like that, Twitter. They looked around and said, look, if there's an opportunity, we're getting out, and they left. So, Tennessee fans, you got what you wanted. I hope you're enjoying the ride. But Rick Barnes is going to be out as the head coach at Texas. That's the big one. And Steve Lavin. Lav had an interesting run at St. John's. He inherited Mike Roberts' talent and got him to the NCAAs. And then he got cancer. Then he was out for a period of time. And I've always talked about you don't really have a total feel for something until it really is all, you know, under, you know, the whole thing, the whole unit is yours. And they decided to part ways, and they made the NCAAs this year. Like, St. John's is not the same job it was 25 years ago. It's not. They think it is, but it's not. Texas, they had big aspirations. They made the tournament this year. They barely got in. But, and the Tennessee thing is just a simple case that they rushed in on Donnie Tindall, and for whatever reason, it appears on the surface, on the outside looking in, and this may be inaccurate, that they didn't vet him properly. I mean, because when he was hired, a lot of us were like, why'd you hire him? I mean, the NCAA was breathing down his neck at Southern Mississippi. But it wasn't my place to call up Dave Hart and say, Dave.
Hey, just a little friendly, just a little friendly thought. Yeah. I don't know that he'd take that call. Hey, a quick plug for Sunday. Sunday is the Northumberland County Boys and Girls All-Star Basketball Games. They'll do it in a college-style format, so it'll be two halves. It'll be at the Lee Corbett Memorial Gymnasium at Lourdes Regional High School. That'll be starting at 6 o'clock with the girls' game, the boys' game to follow about 7:30. We'll have coverage here on WKOK beginning at 5:45 if you can't make the game. $5 is the fee to get in, and it all benefits the Northumberland County Scholarship Program.
Hey, when I go in there next Friday, could you take me over to where the banner is up for your bowling championship?
That's a little further away.
Oh, no, I've got time.
That's all right. I went out there and they had wrestling at the middle school the one time and I couldn't touch the banner. My son said, oh, you must be heartbroken. The banner's not here.
See, I want to be able to join your wife and your son in a sarcastic chorus about it. So I want to go see it.
I'm sure you would. I'll take a picture next time I'm out there for you.